is about financial fitness. Financial fitness. And the Bible tells us that God is a God of order. He's a God of that He organized everything. And that God is not a God of chaos. He is a very orderly God. In fact, the more we look at the universe, the more we realize how organized everything in it. Right? And in fact, science continues to show us things that we don't really know before. That the earth, you know, the everything that's in this world, and the earth, that if it's twisted 1 degree north, we're going to be burned. And if it's twisted 1 degree south, we're going to be frozen. And that's how organized is. And everything in this atmosphere, the satellite, the solar system, the galaxy, are in place, that they are not hitting each other. And the way the church, our church right now, that's where He wants us to be. Right? And it's working. It's working all together. But there are laws that God established the universe. And there's natural and physical and also spiritual laws that He operates. There's a laws of physics. There's a laws of math. There's a laws of gravity. That we don't have to say that, you know, I can fly. But we know that when we cannot fly, that when we step out, we're going to brought us back, right? It's because of the law of gravity. And there are spiritual laws. There are laws of nature. There are natural laws. And by looking at God's creation, we know that He operates in a spiritual laws. And the amazing thing is this. You don't have to understand those laws. You don't have to understand the law of magnetism. And I don't know how that things work. But in the series that we have started about 3 weeks ago, we look at God's laws, and there is laws that God has given to us regarding about money management. Right? Regarding how to invest our money. The money that He has given to us. That in that series 2 weeks ago, we study about the laws of wealth. We're looking at the laws of prosperity. But again, I mentioned to us to the church that we are not a prosperity gospel church. I don't believe that God wants everybody to be a millionaire. Jesus talked about that exactly. A man's life, He said that a man's life consists not in the abundance of things that you possess, and it's not the acquisition of things. But God has given us the laws about finances in His words. In the laws of spending, laws of savings, the laws of investing, the laws of managing and using, laws of insuring, and the laws of giving. There's all kinds of laws about money, but if you do this thing, if you obey Him, if you follow His ways about money, that if you do this thing, it will, if you obey, you will be blessed. Right? You will be blessed. And this week, we are going to look at the third foundational laws of money management. And it is called the laws of sowing and reaping. The laws of sowing and reaping. And the first law that we're going to look at in the sowing and reaping is in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. And in that verse, we have one example of the law of sowing and reaping. And it says, in Proverbs 11, 18, it says, the wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who riches, but he who sows righteousness reap a sure reward. So in this world, he earns his wages dishonestly, but he who sows righteousness reaps sure reward. So I want you to encircle the word sows and reaps. What is God is talking about? And this is obviously talking about money. Amen? He's talking about money. He's talking about wages here. He's talking about your income. And he says there's this honest way to make money and there's an honest way to make money. He says that if you sow honestly, you're going to reap a reward. What is he talking about? So for 1,000 years, the only way that people did the farming is what they called sowing. Didn't have a machine that will put a hole in the ground and then put seeds, and then put a hole in the ground and then put seeds. What they do before 1,000 years is that the farmer have a backpack or a knapsack here, and then they will grab whatever seed inside that pack, and then they throw it away. As they go along, they throw it away, and they what they called it, broadcasting. You see, when they broad, they throw and then they cast it. And that's where they called in the TV or radio broadcasting. Because they just throw it as far as they can throw. And that's what they called broadcasting. And there is no definite thing that it will, you know, put a hole and then drop the seed. Put a hole and drop the seed. So what they do, they just take a nap, put their hands, whatever seed inside that backpack or a knapsack, and then they throw it away as they go along. Amen? So I want you to understand that these principles apply not just in money management, but what we are going to look at today, this also 9 laws which will apply in our relationship, in our time, in our work, in our talents, in the way we use our energy and our wisdom that God has given to us, and in every area of our life. These principles that we're going to look up this morning has a broad application, not only in money, but also in every area of our life. Amen? And there are 9 laws of sowing and reaping from the Word of God. And the first law that we're going to look up this morning is that the first law that everything starts as a seed. Everything in life starts as a seed. Every idea is a seed. Every dream is a seed. Every achievement is a seed. Every building is a seed. There is a seed thought. It is a seed idea. Your life began as a seed. Everything starts as a seed in this planet. God created the world around what we call the seed principle. The first chapter of the Bible Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, says that, let the land have seed, bearing plants, and trees bear fruit with seed in accordance to their varieties. So, in every, this is God said that, let the land have seed bearing plants and trees bear fruit with seed in it according to their varieties. So, we have to understand that everything in this life starts as a seed. We had been, I had been one time we went traveling when Irvin was still a baby. We went up north and we passed by, how many of you have been to Redwood City or Sequoia? Have you been to Sequoia? And notice those big trees that they even curve the tree that even the truck or your car could pass by there. And then there's big trees that's been 380 years old. That's high, big trees. And do you know how big is the seed of this redwood? It's right here. It's just a tiny, tiny seed. But when it grows, when it goes to the ground, it produces this huge trees. Imagine Sequoia. There's a Sequoia tree there that's been there for how many years? In Redwood City, these are the redwood woods. That's big. It starts with a small seed. But then when it grows, there is that it produces a huge tree. And that tree is still alive. And the term that they use, exponential potential, for every seed, there is that potential, that rapid, extreme growth for a seed, that when it's planted, it grows. They have that exponential potential for every seed that's been put in the ground. And everything starts with the seed idea. A seed thoughts. A seed dream. So the first thing that we have to know when we talk about sowing and reaping, the first thing that we should understand that everything starts in a seed. Amen? And number two law is that nothing happens until the seed is planted. Nothing happens in your life until the seed is planted. And you know, when we moved to Redlands, I bought a little packet of this melon seed. Have you seen that? You go to Home Depot and they have those different kinds of seeds. I brought it and I said, maybe the sand here or the dirt in Redlands might be a good place to plant the melon. Because we came from Bloomington. Every plant that we have there, we have trees in Bloomington. Lemon tree and citrus trees. And we had been there for how many? 7 years. It never bear fruits. Pomelo or grapefruit. For 7 years, we have not harvested any fruit. So I said, well, maybe in Redlands might have a different ground in here. So I brought this little tiny packet of melon seed. And guess what? I never seen even the tree. Until the other day, I was looking for a tools for gonna do the saw. I saw this seed. It's in the cabinet. It never been planted. So there's nothing happen until the seed is what? Is planted. See, you have to plant the seed, right? give it to Pierre. And we study about 2 weeks ago that no deposit, no return, right? You have to deposit something in order to withdraw, right? And some of you, you're still waiting on God. You think you're on God for the job. You think you're waiting on God for that boyfriend or girlfriend. You think you're waiting for God for a wife. You're waiting for a big deal. You think you're waiting on God for the income to come. And God says, are you serious? You have to start working. You have to start planting a seed. And it's not going to happen until until what? You plant the seed. Right? Everything in life starts with the seed. A relationship, a marriage, a business, a church. This church, it never, we are not here if it's, there's no seed that's been planted. Right, Sister Rose? Amen? And why is God is doing that? Because planting is an act of faith. That's why planting, farming, I'm very, very honored when a person is a farmer, because that farmer is have a full of faith. Because farming is an act of faith. Amen? I'll take what I got and I'll let it go. And I put it in the ground and burn it, and that takes an act of faith. It takes what I got and I let it go. And God says that planting is an act of faith that brings glory to God. Amen? And Jesus explained this principle when he's trying to explain why he came to this earth and why he died on the cross. The use of the principle is about sowing and reaping. Look at in John chapter 12, verse 24. I tell you the truth. Unless the kernel of wheat falls to the ground and it dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it what? It produces more seed. And that's the principle I want to relay with you this morning. Whatever I have a need, I plant the seed. Amen? Whatever I have a need, I plant the seed. I don't know what your needs are this morning. Maybe you need more time. You need more money, more energy, more support, more relationship, more wisdom. I don't know what you want. But whatever you need more, you plant the seed. That is the principle that God wants us to practice. The principle of sowing and reaping. Amen? When I have a need, I don't complain about it. I don't gripe it. I don't whinge about it. But I don't even pray about it. I just plant the seed. Because nothing is going to happen until the seed is planted. Amen? So the first thing that we need to do is that we understand that everything in life starts with the seed. Amen? And number two, nothing happens until the seed is planted. And number three, the third law is whatever I sow is what I reap. Whatever I sow, whatever I put in the ground is what I'm going to reap. This is the law of reproduction. Now, if the farmer goes out and he has trailed a load of beans and he starts planting beans in a barren land, in the barren field, what it expect to bear fruit? It will bear fruit. Whatever he put in there, whatever seed he put in there, a kernel of corn or beans, whatever he put in the field, that's what he's going to reap. That's what he's going to reap. Amen? And this is the law of reproduction. Amen? Did you expect a watermelon if you plant corn? It won't. Whatever you planted, you wanted watermelon, you get watermelon. Right? If he plant beans, he's going to get a cucumber. No, he's going to get a beans. He's going to get beans because that's what he planted. Amen? In Galatians chapter 6, what does it say? Do not deceive. No one makes a fool of God. He will reap exactly what you have planted in life. Do we have it there? No? Either positively or negatively. It could work for you or against your life. He said, whatever I dish out in life, what I'm going to get back in life is that whatever I put out. What comes around goes around. And if I am planting seed of kindness to other people, you know what people, what I'm going to expect? Kindness. And if I go out and show grace and mercy, and I cut people some slack, people is going to show grace and mercy on me. If I'm generous to other people, people is generous with me. Whatever you sow, you will also what? You reap. But the opposite is also true in a negative sense. If I go out and I'm angry, do you know what I'm going to get? Get angry. And the other day, I was taking Kimba a walk. And Kimba keep on, instead of me walking Kimba, Kimba is walking me. The dog, yeah. And I was walking. I'm trying to train her to sit down in my own term and to go in my own term. And then suddenly a lady behind me said, "Dude, what are you doing with your dog?" I said, "What do you mean what I'm doing your dog? You're kicking it." I said, "You know," and then she said, "I'm an animal advocate. You're kicking the dog." So I just, and then she keep on doing and doing. And then my voice kind of go up a little bit. And I get mad. I said, "Bro, this is my dog. I can train whatever I want to train him. Train her." And then she start, "I'm going to call the police." So now my voice to come up, and then her voice to start to come up. So whatever you sow, that's what you're going to get. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 26, do we have it there? It says, "If a man digs a pit, he will fall into it. If a man rolls a stone, it will roll back on him." So whatever you sow, you reap. Right? What comes around, goes around. Amen? If you've been angry, you go out and angry, you get angry people too. Right? Here's in Hosea. It says in chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "But you have planted wickedness," and then what you're going to get? You reap evil. Right? Now what we want to do is we want to plant something and we want to reap something. But it's not, that's not going to happen. You're going to reap what you sow. I could not sow a responsibility and become a success in life. I cannot sow laziness and be rewarded in life. I could not sow stinginess in my life and expect people to be generous with me. But whatever you put out is what you're going to get it back. Right? You sow a thought, you reap an act. You sow an act, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. And you sow a character, what? You reap a destiny. See? You sow a thought in your mind, what you're gonna have is you reap an act. You sow an act, you reap a habit. Now it's become a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, you reap a destiny. Whatever you give up, you're going to get it back. And parents, how do you get kids to trust you? Trust them. Have you ever trust your kids? The more you trust you put on your kids, the more they will trust you. Whatever you give out, you are going to get it back. This is true in every area of our life. Amen? And here's the fourth principle. Here's the fourth principle. I'm not the only sower. I'm not the only one that sow. What does it mean is that you are reaping both good and bad for what other people are sowing around you. There are people who are beside you. There are people who are in your family. There are people who came before you. Your parents, your grandparents, and so on. And they have been sowing, and in many ways, you are reaping what the previous generation sowed. So you drove to church today on a road you have not paved, in a car you didn't even design, and a gas you didn't even pump from the ground. Somebody else sow energy and time, invention, creativity, and so on. So many things in life that other people sown, and you are reaping. Reaping it. And it's also true in an opposite way. You have been hurt by what other people sow around you. Some of you grew up in a family where there's a history of multiple generation of abuses. And look, you can see abuse, abuse, and abuse. And you need to tell them to stop. This thing has to stop. This has to stop. Because this will affect you and the rest of the generation around you. So you need to say, okay, it has to stop. The chain has to be broken. And I'm not going to pass it on the next generation. And your life is going to affect other generation. You can just think about that yourself. You know, we cannot say, no, it's my life. I can do whatever I want to do. No, because your life affects others' life. Affects other generation. Affects your children, your grandchildren. Amen? So I'm not the only one that saw. There's other people around you that's living with you. Maybe at work. That's sowing something in your life. And that affects your life. And that it affects your life, it also affects others' life that's around you. Amen? So Jesus, in John chapter 4, verse 38, it says, I send you to harvest where you did not plant. That means God sent you to the world to harvest that you and I didn't plant. Others had already do the work. And now you will get to gather the harvest. You see? Because there's some other sower. Other people that is sowing in your life. And God says, you know what? I send you to a harvest where you did not plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get the harvest. You get the cream. You get to reap the result. Everything starts in a seed. Nothing happens until seed is what? Is planted. And whatever I plant, whatever I sow, is what I'm going to get back. Amen? I am not the only sower in this world. There are sowers that's around me. Amen? Number five law is that I always reap in a different season than from when I sow it. There's time delay from where I make an effort. Make the deposit and I get the fruit. Plant takes time to grow. Amen? There is no such thing as instant maturity, brothers and sisters. No farmer goes and plant seed in the ground and come back an hour later and dig it up and said, have you grown? You got to let it grow. There is no such thing as instant success. There is instant fame, but there is no instant success. The Bible tells us there is a season in life. There is a season in life. Right, Sister Beck? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. There's a time for everything. A season for every activity under heavens. A time to plant and a time to uproot it. A time to scatter stone and a time to gather them. And so between then and now and whatever comes next, there's always a delay that is sometimes is very irritating. If you read this verse, this was written by who? Anybody? By Solomon, the wisest man. Because he said, there's always time for everything. And there is no such thing as instant maturity. So the time between then and now and the time that's coming, there is that time delay. And most of us are very patient, but they say that I want it now. You want it now. But there is no such thing as instant maturity or instant success. Instant fame, maybe. But instant success is hardly. Amen? It says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. I was listening to the radio the other day, and the lady said, you know what? My dad, you know, when I was in the hospital, he's always there. When I got hospitalized for surgery, cancer surgery, he's there when I woke up from the anesthesia. The first person that I saw is my dad sitting there. And he sits there, and you know what? He never even asked me how are you, but just his presence, he just ministered to me. And now he's on the other side. He's in the hospital, and I'm the one visiting. So he said, this is my season. The season to be with your dad. See, our time is in season. It's a season. And sometimes if we don't understand, we become frustrated and we give up on God. Because we don't understand that God has a different season of life. Amen. We need to understand that God operates in every season. Maybe our season is right here, this morning. There will come a time that there's another generation that will come. Our season is over. But right now, is the season that we have is to take care of these young people that we have. Amen? So, there is always a time to scatter stones and the time to gather them. And sometimes it's irritating. But we need to understand the seasons of life. And the fruits ripen. The fruits ripen slowly. You see that, you pick a tomato that is ripened from the vine, from the vine. It's different than a tomato that's not ripen, still green, but they pick it up and then they carbonate it, and it will be like red, like ripen, and then they bring it to the store, and the taste is different, right? The taste is different because it's forced, it didn't ripen, but then when it's ripen, it's delicious, right? It's sweet, like the grapes. So there's a principle. You'd rather wait for a ripened tomato, or you'd rather eat the one that's picked up green and then they do some carbonated process there. It may be red, but it still tastes green. There is no comparison between those two things. Now, this is the principle in money management that I always reap in a different season than I saw. And by the way, not all fruits ripen at the same time. When you have peach tree, it ripens one after the other. It doesn't ripen everything in the whole tree. Right? It ripens one, and then you pick it up, and then you go back again the following morning. Now, this is ready to be picked up. So it doesn't ripen at the same time. It comes little by little. When you start planting and sowing, you start following God's money management principle. You're not going to get a windfall tomorrow, but because you start practicing God's money management yesterday, it's going to ripen a little bit at the time. And now I'm waiting, God's is working. A lot of time when we are waiting for the fulfillment of the effort that I put in yesterday, that I have given time and energy, and while I'm waiting for that to happen, I think, sometimes it feels like there's nothing happening because there's no movement. Because we like everything that we plant, it moves right away, it reacts right away. But it doesn't. So we have to wait. And now when we are still waiting, it might not see it in our own eyes, but God is working inside of that person, of that you that have planted the seed. Amen? We don't see it, but God is working. God is working inside of us. The seed has been working in the ground. Now when we sow it, it's just plop up there, the stalk, and then when the stalk comes out and it starts to grow some vines, and pretty soon there's a heap of corn, a kernel of corn that's been planted. It's stuck a little bit, and now there's a stack of corns coming out. One seed, and there's a stack of corn start to come out because we learn to wait. Amen? And we wait, and there's the ground is being germinating one day at a time, and it boils and it comes out. the full grown corn and growing. And one day a little shoot will stick out from that ground, and then you know it's working. Amen? You know that the principle or that the planted, that the seed that's been planted, I'd start to work. That will bring us to number six. I always reap more than I sow. I always reap more than I sow. There is always true for good or for bad. Positively or negatively in your life, you always reap more than you sow. Right? And this is the principle of multiplication. It takes one kernel of corn, and I plant that one kernel of corn in the ground. I don't get one kernel of corn back. I get a corn stack. And on the corn stack, I get a multiple ears. And each of those ears, I get 100 of kernel. Right? And this is the exponential power of the seed principle that God established in the universe. You always get more of it than you put into it. Because what you sow, you always ended up of getting more of it. Here's the principle in Mark chapter 4, verse 8. The verse is, still other seeds fell on the good soil. It came up and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. So Jesus is saying, not only all of your plant bears the same result, they 30-fold increases, 60-fold increases, and some 100-fold increases. But it's true in every area of our life. Not only in money, but also in our life. If you notice it, you go out, and you gossip to one person. And this one person, you know what? He gossiped it to other two. And then pretty soon, you're in the chain. Right? Because that principle, doesn't apply only to the seed, to the money, but also applies to our what? To our life. To our attitude. And even more. And pretty soon you found yourself, you're in a chain, gossip chain, instead of prayer chain. Amen? Jesus is saying that not all of your plant bears the same result. There's 30, 60, and even 100-fold. That will bring us to the next principle. Number seven. I can increase my harvest by planting more seeds. And this is the law of proportion. That we always reap in proportion to what we sow. And if I sow a bunch of seed, I get a bunch of crop. If I sow a little seed, guess what? I get a little crop. If I sow no seed, no crop. Oh, that's crop. And this is true in giving. It's true in tithing. It's true in energy expenditure. It's true in talents. It's true in the intelligence. It's true in every area of our life. That I can increase my harvest by planting more seeds. In 2 Corinthians, we have that one, Herb? 2 Corinthians chapter 9? No? Okay. Oh, 2 Corinthians. Oh, 1 Corinthians. It says, Paul said, whoever sow sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. See, that's Paul's version of sowing and reaping. If you sow sparingly, guess what you're going to get? You're going to reap sparingly. Amen? This is particularly a passage happened to be talking about money as a seed. It's more than just money. In here, they're talking about giving. Basically, it's saying you cannot outgive God. And I share with you many times about giving times, about you when you play game with God and says, Pastor Ed, you give to me and I'll give it to you and let us see who wins. And the more you sow, the more you reap. And God loves a cheerful giver. And the word cheerful, it means hilarious. I remember one time, we have a missionary in Tanzania, Africa, and he's saying that in the church, when it's time to give, because he follow about the hilarious giver, so he come from the back where she sits, and then he starts throwing the eggs in the air, catching it, and then you know he dances to the front. And then she lay down the eggs to the basket because she wants to be a hilarious giver. So she enjoy. She's dancing, throwing the... These are fresh egg. But when she failed to catch it, it's over. But she juggled that eggs from the back of the church and to the front because she's a hilarious giver. So when we come today, this morning, maybe if you come to... Put in your envelope. Maybe you can do some shuffle dance there. And but you love to give the Lord, right? So maybe we can start practicing the hilarious giver of the ICFC. Amen. But that's what learning do we have now? That's law number 7, right? Law number 8. Proverbs 11:24. Do we have that error? Proverbs. Oh, no, not yet. Proverbs 11:24. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Do we have that? No? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Write it down. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. We're going to cover that next subject though. Number 8. Law number 8. It's time to start planting now. The time to start planting is now. It all started as a seed. Nothing happens until the seed is planted. And whatever you sow, what I'm going to reap. I always reap what I sow. Increase the harvest by planting more seeds. But the time to plant is now. What? You don't have to wait for a better time. The sooner the better. I hear from people all the time. They'll say, oh, one of these days, I'm going to get involved in the ministry. Oh, one of these days, I'm going to be part of the worship team. One of these days, I'm going to teach the Bible study. One of these days is maybe, one of these days is none of these days. And why? Because the sooner you plant, the longer you're going to harvest the rest of your life. Amen? Again, in Ecclesiastes 11:4, it says, those who wait for perfect weather will never plant seeds. Think about that. Those who wait for a perfect weather will never plant seed. That means if you're waiting for a perfect time, time might not even come. And this is, those who look at every cloud, those who look up those stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange, every one of them look at the clouds. They never look, sometimes this, but most of the time, they look at those running numbers. It says, those who look up at every cloud will never harvest a crop. And why is that? Because perfection, listen to this, because perfection paralyzes potential. How many will agree if you wait for a perfect condition, you'll never get anything done? Amen? It's obvious. So whatever you want to start doing, start it now. Look at verse 6 of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Do your planting in the morning and in the evening too. You'll never know whether it will all grow well or whether one planting will do better than the other. It's interesting that the Bible says that having a spiritual conversation with other people is planting seed. You know, when you converse to other people about the kingdom of God, about Jesus Christ, about what He has done for you and me in the cross, do you know that the Bible, that Paul considered that as planting seeds? When you share, when you talk to other people, when you converse to other people about the kingdom of God, do you know that Paul considered that as planting seed? Do you know that? That's planting seed. That's part of sowing and reaping. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, do we have that in there? 9:11? Not either? Man, where I have been? I've been sleeping, probably. Chapter 9, verse 11 says, reaping a material harvest is appropriate if we have spiritual seeds among you. So, there is planting of this spiritual fruit. That's what they called spiritual sowing. Paul is making his point loud and clear that he's going to reap benefits by talking to other people about the Lord. Amen? When we talk about the Lord with other people, that's Paul said, is that's a spiritual reaping. Spiritual sowing. Amen? In Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Oh, not yet? No more, Herb? 4:26? No more? It says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel of head. He's saying the result will come. It will come slowly. It will come in a process. He is saying it takes time. And because it takes time, look at what he told to Galatians. We must not become weary or become tired in doing good. We will receive our harvest of eternal life at the right time if we do not give up. Amen? So, now as your pastor who loves you, and I just want to say this heart to heart, that you have to forget last year's crop. Because there's nothing you can do about it. The crop that was over, that's behind you, Forget about that. Because you have many years of crops, of crop failures in your life. You have many wasted years, and so have I. If you wasted those things, you need to put it behind you and let the Lord handle it that's before you. Amen. This the principle that we have been talking about is about the finances. That sometimes some of us, it's a mess, but it probably brought tears in your eyes. But to be honest with you, we have to submit and see these principles that will help you and me to be financially fit for the days to come and the years to come. Because God's desire to each one of us not to be a millionaire, but to be financially fit for the kingdom of God. Amen? It says in closing, in Psalms 125, verse 5 and 6, it says, those who plant in tears will harvest with shout of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Amen. So, God is saying, if you follow His ways, because His ways is better than our ways, you might be weeping now, but you know what? You will be shouting with joy when you return back with the harvest that you have. Amen? Shall we all stand? Where's our worship team? They're gone. Brother Ray, you're by yourself. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the principles that you have shown to us, Lord, that will help us invigorate, Lord, our finances, Lord, to be financially fit, Lord, for the kingdom, Father God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for every person that are here this morning that hears your word. Father, we pray that this will not fall in the side of the road, Lord God, fall in the wayside, Lord Jesus, but it will fall into the filtered ground, that whatever will come, Lord, the trials will come, Lord, and try to snatch this word, Lord God. But we thank you, God, that you have sealed this word into our heart. If there's anything, Lord, that question us, Lord, Father, we pray that you will help us, Lord, to invigorate us, Lord, and to help us, Lord God, to understand, Lord Jesus, that your desire for each one of us, Lord, that we will be financially fit, Lord God. And Father, we thank you, God. Thank you for everyone that are here. Thank you, God, for the tithes and offering that you have given to your kingdom, Lord God. And help us, Lord, to be a good steward, Lord, of the blessing that you have given to each one of our life. Even in money, Lord, in talents, in time, and in energy, and even in our relationship, Lord God, with our spouse, Father God, that we will be able, Lord, to manage, Lord, and to be a good steward of your kingdom, Father God. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you, God. In all of this, we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.